Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the Lord God said, let there be light. And there was light. In him was life, and the life was the light of people. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. The image of light is the powerful image of God illuminating his creation and bringing light to your mind, your body, your spirit, to your whole soul and mind too. What a beautiful blue sky day we're able to see. And this evening, we'll have a lunar eclipse. The sense of God at work in a remarkable way with eyes to see and ears to hear. Do you see God at work? When Jacob called us into the worship moment, precious Lord, hold my hand, and we were holding each other's hands, it was the awareness that we're in this journey together. We had just sung about being on a journey together. And there we were as brothers and sisters holding each other's hands and the sense of a togetherness in this great call of the light shining through. That's exactly what Jesus was wanting to get across in the passage that Catherine read for us. In John 9:5, Jesus said, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. What does this mean in our global age? It means that in every country of the world, God's light is shining through. 7 billion plus people, equally in love and illuminating his hope for each person. And the sense of this Christ wanting to break through in your life and my life is not only for us, but how it is that he will shine his light through us into the lives of others. I already loved you as the Trinity family when I came in view of a call in January of 2009. But I loved you all the more in a worship moment. I had just been introduced by Diana and Gardner, the chairs of our search team, and I discovered that my future father-in-law, Elam Lugalia, had made the drive from Houston to here. Now, we had something in common, but we hadn't met. His daughter, my son, were engaged up in Chicago. They couldn't be here, but he heard what was happening in this Texas city. And so he drove over to be a part of the big family moment, and he drove to meet me and me, him, and our families. And so in the midst of his just being introduced, somewhere out here, I looked around, and there he was. I got up from right there with my son, Stephen. We went back, we hugged Elam in the middle, and y'all gave an applause. The sense of the awareness of just being the family, but also the awareness of the family of God is not separated by the color of skin. Black and white brought together, brown and white and black brought together, the skin colors of God's great creation, and how it is that we then can let this light shine through our lives for others to see the Christ to believe. Now here's the focus. 63 times in the Gospel of John, the word believe is highlighted more than any other single book in the Bible. But from Genesis to Revelation, believe, trust is the thread that holds together the story of God for the people of God. But believe is highlighted from the beginning to the end of this incredible gospel. And how are we to believe but the light is to shine that we may see. And so the story opens up then in John 9:1 when Jesus is walking along and he saw the man who could not see. Now you caught that, right? He saw the man who could not see. The power of actually being able to see what is in front of us. To be able to see and to be able to name it as God's great creation and wonder. Now, many people saw this man, but didn't see him, if you know what I mean. Because he was blind. Sometimes that's how it happens in our lives. And Jesus says, I've got more for you to see. Take, for instance, Martin Luther King Jr. and Billy Graham. They both preached the gospel, lived the gospel, did the gospel. They had a different lead to their story. For Billy Graham, it was to change the individual in order to change society. For MLK, it was to change society in order to change the individuals. It was simply a different lead of the same gospel message. They were both Baptist preachers, and they both had the global influence. And in the midst of the celebration of a gospel that's so powerful that it changes individuals and it changes a society, that's what we call the light shining in. And so that a great preacher of the Ebenezer Street Baptist Church of Atlanta said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. And hate can't drive out hate. Only love can do that." Jesus saw the man, as a person. And the power of that broke through. Now, what was going on? Why weren't other people able to see him like Jesus did? Well, there was some wrong thinking going on inside their head. The disciples, his close ones, were courageous enough to ask the question, and it's important for us to ask God the question. Have you noticed? I certainly have felt in my own life that I can't get myself cleaned up in order to come to God. I need to come to God in order to get cleaned up. I need to bring with him my way of thinking and my way of feeling and my way of doing, and then let him do his thing with me. To let God be God, and God's going to be who he is, wherever he is, and to simply let that freedom stir inside of us. So my prayer in 2019, every day and getting out of bed, is, "Lord, I just work through me today. Just work through me today." Well, the disciples were saying, "Now, you saw this man and you spoke to him. We have a question. Which sinned? Who sinned? Was it him or his parents?" Because the way of thinking, the ideology of their day, was saying that somebody had to sin. Something went wrong. People are to blame. And therefore, Jesus, let us know who it was. And Jesus said, "Neither he nor his parents sinned was the cause of this person's blindness. But in his blindness, it will reveal the glory of God." The glory of God is the light shining through in our world, over breaking through our lives. You know, when you love somebody that catches them by surprise, that's God's glory shining through. So here's the central message. Jesus changes you. We come to him in the grace. We said, "Lord, I accept my need for you. I believe in you as the Son of God. I commit my life to follow you." And then the Lord is set free to shine his light through us. And he's always got more that he wants to show us of what that means. And that's how we then change society. And that's how society then helps to change people. The church is to lead the way. One of our favorite hymns for almost everyone is "Amazing Grace." Oh, "Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I," what? John Newton came to personal faith in Jesus Christ. He was the captain of a slave ship. He felt the joy of his forgiveness and the love of God coming to his life, and he kept on being the captain of a slave ship until a few years later. His ship came into port in Italy. And then he said it's as though God struck him with the awareness of what he was doing, gave him the clarity in a vision of what he was doing, that he, a believer in Christ, was still seeing people as cargo, transporting them from one shoreline to another shoreline where they were to be sold as slaves. And that's when he was struck to the painful core of his very being. He went back, having repented from his sin, having walked away from the slave trade, then going to Olney, England, where then he began in the service of the church as a pastor and as a musician. And he penned the "Amazing Grace" as a way to tell his story. You notice there was a gap between when he first said yes to Jesus and he continued to grow and grow and what that really meant for him. Well, in a condensed way, we find that story right here in John 9. Jesus then turned to the man after answering the people's questions, and he said, "This light of the world is shining this way through, And then we find in verses 6 and 7 what he did with that message. He turned it in a way that he was time to coact Jesus. He got down on his knees and he spit and he created a sense of a saliva mud cake. Now, Rachel, you remember when you were 13, we were in the Maasai village in the Serengeti Plains of Kenya. And we went into a village, and one of the mothers holding a precious little boy called Moses came up to you and asked you to spit on him. And what was this? But it was a sense that the saliva is a sign of life, and it would be a blessing. The sense of the giving of the blessing. So you took baby Moses in your arms, and you gently, and the blessing was given, and the blessing was received. This is a kind of a mini new creation story. It's like Genesis 1, 2, and 3. It's like God doing this new creation for this man and for the community. But who would see what was happening? That was the question. So he turned to the man. He said, now that I have touched your eyes with this gift of a new creation, you're to go back to the temple pool, Siloam, and you go there, and you are to wash your face. And so the man had his work to do. He was a co-acting. He had his work to do. He went back to the pool, Siloam, which means the sent one. He washed his face, and by the mercies of God, he could see. And he came back and told others, and it changed their lives. Have you noticed as a believer in Jesus Christ that when you show up, things change? Now, I know as a pastor, y'all will kid me. If I walk into this, your circle of storytelling, you'll say, oh, no, the pastor's here. Preacher's here. It's actually what you'll say. Preacher's here. We got to change our story. Now, I know you're not really having to change your story. You're just playing out a line. That's true, isn't it? Yeah. When you show up, not that somebody has to be different than who they are because you're there, but you help to make them who they're really meant to be because you're there. That your very presence is the kind of a blessing, another way of looking at their lives and situation. And so when this man was changed, everybody had to change around him. Have you ever been in a fuss with somebody? Maybe a downright argument. And then you're saying, let's cut it out. And the other person says, well, I'm not the only one who's been raising my voice. It takes two to do the fuss. And this person was changing, and everyone around him had to make a decision about him because he had become a witness of this grace of God. He was a living testimony to that power. Kenny Perry was in Germany. His parents were in the army. And he was a high school athlete, and he was off to the side of the field, and he was out of the way of the discus thrower. But the discus thrower had a stray throw and hit him right above the eyes. Immediately, he lost his eyesight and never has recovered it. For 3 months there in Germany, he met with a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist said, I don't understand how quickly you've been able to accept your blindness. And he said, well, it's my faith. You know, as a army brat, we've moved a lot. And all that moving has just gotten me used to change. And so my life has changed, but God has made me whole. And today, Kenny cannot see as we call seeing, but he is vibrant in seeing what God is showing him through the power of his faith. The power of believing. The sustaining power of believing. So, this man went before the religious authorities, and they too were blind. They were blind because of their prejudice, their ideology, their way of rethinking. You know what prejudice is? It's when you have predetermined the answer and you don't look at the evidence. The power of the evidence of Jesus showing itself is the power of being able to see truly God at work equally in the life of each person. And then saying, I want to be a part of that. Now, this man had to grow into his change, just like John Newton, just like me, just like you. But the power of you being an evangelist, the power that you've got good news, you're a witness. You've got good news as a witness into the lives of other people. And the most powerful witness that you have to give is your life, what you do, and how you say what you say about the Jesus. Jesus said, let your light shine, what? Before people, that they may see how great you are? No. That they may see your Father and give glory unto him. So the power of that. So, Adele, let's go back to that last slide. And I want you to see this progression. He was first asked, who was the one who healed you? Well, they call him Jesus. And they would say, well, the Jesus is on our hit list is the religious power brokers. It couldn't be him. And then they said, well, who is this person? He says, well, Jesus is the man, and he is a prophet. They had brought them the blind man who could now see his parents into the religious power circle. And they said, now, your son was blind. Yes, he was. He can now see. Yes, he can. How did that happen? We don't know. Ask him. Because if they had said it was Jesus, they would have been kicked out of the temple and out of the synagogues across the country. It was intimidation. Because Jesus is changing a person and changing society and changing society by changing a person. All by his light, not carrying somebody else's program or agenda or politics, but just taking the gospel and letting it shine. Well, then Jesus went back to the man after the man had been kicked out of the temple. He went and found him. He didn't leave him. And then the man said, what Jesus does is from God. And Jesus said, do you believe in the Messiah, the Son of Man? Well, show him to me and I will believe. And Jesus said, it's the man standing in front of you. And he said, with eyes that now could actually see the man in front of him, he could say, I believe. And he worshiped him. The power of this believing really changes our lives. You have the power of God stirring inside you by the authority of Jesus Christ. You carry that authority as a light shining in the world, the power of his promise shining through you. Many of you know a dear friend through the years, one who had been a member of our church for more than 50 years. Her name is Leah Green. She would frequently sit right over there. It was a little over 2 years ago that she woke up one morning and she could not see. The sight was gone. What does one do? Well, Leah did what she'd always done. She trusted the circumstances of her life into the hands of God, and she's lived each day with the sight of faith eyes where the physical eyes no longer work. Oh, cynicism had knocked on the door of her soul, and she said, get out of here. The sense of despair had tried to conquer her hope, and she said, nah, Jesus is holding me close. The other day when I was at her home and just holding her hand, I felt the power of her sight of faith. To see life whole. This man, born blind, was looked down upon by everyone because he was lesser than until Jesus made him whole. And he went as a sign of the light of Christ into a world that was blind. Blind by its own choosing. Able to see by the grace of God. Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world. Every nation, every race, every color. His grace holds them all close. A man who is blind enabled others to see. Let's pray. So it is that you, Lord, breaking into a world with a message, this message of the light shining. Thank you that you break through the darkness by your very presence. Let us be here now to actually see in faith, to have you break through freer and clearer in our lives in the power of this faith, in the ways of Christ. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.